Another, this is a song from way back. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. The ends of the earth. Gospel goes out. Just two verses. Why don't you stand and sing? Open God's word.
The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All nations of the earth shall learn and worship Him as God alone. All earth to Him will homage bring. Unfailing righteousness, all generations shall confess. Come age to age, shall be taught what wondrous works the Lord has wrought. Other to Him, her homage brings. The Lord of Lords, the King.
Be seated. And I knew I forgot some things. They're like Mary, your husband, he served in the military, and others as well. I went to visit Mark on Friday afternoon, and I he knew I was there, but I thanked him for his time in the Army as well. And you can do the same thing with veteran Barney. How many of people have served in the military here? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. We start a new series today. Whoa, no, let's put that little thing I have up there. Let's say it together. Yeah, well, the people want. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Going to start a new series today, and you can put it up there, the first PowerPoint. And, you know, if you... I got some PowerPoints on my piece of paper here, and you look at the mess you can't probably see the mess I got all over here, so the best, Luke, in terms of as we go along. I got notes scribbled all over here. So anyway, that's beside the point, but notice I want you to see the title of this series, and actually the title I took right from the title of a book, Such a Great Salvation, the Book of Judges. My guess is that quite a few of us here don't know much about the book of Judges. It's in some ways, throughout the history of the church has been almost apologetic for this book. How in the world? But this book fits in with the other 65 books of the Bible. It's all God's Word. So that tells us a huge amount right away that this book is relevant. And I ran into a little quotation of some in a different context, but listen to this. In terms of the relevance of the Book of Judges for Trinity CRC, our calling in St. Louis, saw a cartoon in which the young, hip, guitar-plucking Christian singer, now I scribbled those notes, but that I'm not running him down as such, but he was young, hip, guitar-playing, and here's what he said to his audience, and I quote, "I wrote this song last year, but I think it still has relevance." 1 year, he's not so sure. But we've got a book here. Book of Judges is about 3,200 years ago, 1,200 years before Christ. David was 100. Abraham about 14 or somewhere in there. So, I still think this is contemporary because it's God's word, right? It is the book of books revealing the triune God. So therefore, when we go into the book of Judges, Well, before we get to the next PowerPoint, let me make this one too. If I asked you, and this is just a sharing question, but I want you to answer in your own mind, just to engage yourself in as you listen to this message. So not just sit back and let him preach, but you engage your mind. What would you say is one of the prevailing problems of the church in our land today? And I wanted to put it that way because it's not a problem about politics. We think, well, that's not it. What is one of the major problems of the church community? And I would put it here this way. I think one of them, and it's just my opinion, of course, suggests that one of the greatest challenges, if you will, to the Christian community in North America today is what I would call half commitment. Half commitment. Oh, yeah, we're committed to God. But halfway commitment will not cut it, folks. In fact, as we should begin the book of Judges here today, this is way off and maybe not even inappropriate. But if you're here for the first time, if you get into this book and you hear my message this morning, you may say, what kind of church is that that preaches that kind of sermon from that kind of book? I understand. If you're here for the first time, it might be your last time here. I hope not. I hope you'll listen closely to what the minister has to say this morning from God's Word, and so that you too can, with the title of that message, the series, Such a Great Salvation. Such a Great Salvation. But the problem of halftime commitment, in fact, I'll personalize this, and this is way out as well. But I hope to God that he would give me. If Tiger Woods would call me on the phone this week. I really kind of expect him to, but he hasn't yet. If Tiger Woods would call me on the phone and say, Gil, I'm going to be in St. Louis next Sunday morning. Let's play a round of golf. You had back surgery, I have had back surgery. We got things in common. I would hope to God that if Tiger Woods would invite me to play golf next Sunday morning, that I would say, no, next Sunday morning, I'm celebrating the Lord's Supper with the congregation that I worship at. I'm going to worship with them and hear his word, not just because I'm the preacher, because TJ could take over, or Mark. I'm going to listen to God's word. In fact, Tiger, why don't you join me in worship first? And if he said, are you nuts? I would say, no, I'm saved. I'm saved. And I'm bringing my praise and worship to the one who saved me. I don't want to overdo that, but I want you to get the point. Half commitment is never going to win the next generation. It's never going to see God work through our church and through our individual lives. It just isn't. And this book of Judges is a book about half commitment. God's people. We'll see that this morning. And this is an introductory sermon, so that's why it's a somewhat. Here's how the book begins. Well, put the next one up there, right there. The book of Judges, and there's no PowerPoint answer to it, so you'll have to. The book of Judges is a revelation, and this is from God about God. And I think I've just said that, but I want you to catch that. It's not about, well, here's just some story of the various judges and these people of Israel after they got into the promised land. They messed things up. Yeah, they did. And it goes from bad to worse, as we'll see. I'm hoping to keep this series going through the summer. But anyway, this book is a revelation from God, and it's about God. If we don't keep that straight, we're lost. We're lost in this book and really every other book as well. Now, if you got in Judges, my Bible is on page 232, opposite that. And here's the only verse I'm going to read at this point. And later, I got a couple other verses from chapter 1. I think I put in the title up there, 1 and 2, but we're not going to look at anything in chapter 2 this morning. But here you see it. Verse 1, the first few verses. After the death of Joshua. That's how the book begins. The leader Joshua. After the death of Joshua. Now, I had written a whole bunch of notes about the second generation. I may put them in next week. I'm not sure. The next generation. The next generation after the greatest generation came back from World War II. The next generation, how did they respond? The next generation. Whole subject there. The next generation, having seen the mighty works of God in Egypt, through the desert, delivered through the Red Sea, Joshua, and all those things that happened through the book just before Judges, what about the next generation? When the people of Joshua, after the death, that's what it says, after the death of Joshua. I think the author is simply saying, the next generation, all right? But again, here we go. Let's put the next one up there, Brother Luke. This is just to show you that the book of Judges is not just this isolated book. Hebrews 11, way to the end of the Old Testament, the by faith chapter. Example after example after example, what I call I prefer to call this thing not the by faith chapter, but survivors through the storm. Here's an example of somebody who survived through the storm. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, Rahab, and so forth. Survivors through the storm. Here's what it says in verse 32. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you, the author of Hebrews writing now to us, about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. Those are all guys we're going to meet in Judges, all right? That's why I put this up. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. And that's certainly true of Daniel, of course, but also Samson deals with shut the mouth of lion, strangled him. Get to that story. So this is... The next PowerPoint is one of the main ones here that we have to come to grips with. In fact, this PowerPoint, go ahead and put the next one up, Luke. This one, if we can get the answer to this down this morning, and that's what I prayed for, worked on, if nothing else, I hope in the future, the PowerPoints after it will show that. Here's what I want you to get, because let me just back it up with a story. I remember in my second church in Sioux Center, Iowa, when I served a church in there, one of the young people, a Dort professor's son, came to see me in my office. And basically what he said was, if the God you want me to worship, Pastor Gill, is the God who called Israel when they came into the promised land to slaughter everybody, men, women, children, everybody, wipe them out. If that's the God you want me to follow, I don't want anything to do with him. Anything to do with him. And I like it when people are honest and blunt. To this day, I'm not sure where that young man is. But he walked away from the church at that point in his life. But I think his point, I want to try to answer it. But it's not easy. So you've got to listen closely now in the next little bit. What about the command of God that his people are to kill every person in the boundaries of Canaan, that certain land? What about that? Everyone. Don't make treaties with them. Don't bring them into forced labor. Wipe them all out. That's why I say, if you're not so sure about the Christian thing, this might be, what, okay. How can this be the God of all compassion? How can we understand this command, which Joshua and the next generation, because Joshua had to do, Joshua was the one that began the conquest, and the next generation after him were to do? How can we do that? How does the judge's command relate then to the church's orders? Pastor, you and your colleagues here, your young, you're always talking about by going into the Great Commission, going into the whole world, making disciples of all nations. Whether you go on a medical mission or whether you go with young people going someplace, whatever, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey. What? How in the world does the book of Judges fit in with that? You get what I'm wrestling with. And it is not just blowing smoke. How does this God fit in with our faith today? I think there's an answer, and a very profound answer. So listen on. First one I want to put up is not the complete answer, but is from Deuteronomy chapter 9. And I want you to see this. We're beginning to answer this question now. How in the world can this God wipe everybody out, be our God, whom we love and serve? That's what I'm trying to wrestle with, because this book of Judges is part of his word. after the Lord your God has given you. This is Moses giving a last speech to Israel before they crossed the Jordan. After the Lord your God has driven them out before you, all these nations, all these people in the promised land, do not say to yourself, the Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land because of my righteousness. You'll notice how often this comes, because of my righteousness. No, it is on account, here's the first explanation I want to give for wiping out these people. It is on account of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. It is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you are going to take possession of their land, but on account of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you to accomplish what he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand then that it is not, you think you're trying to get the point? It is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. So there's part of the answer, but you may come right back, and I would too. Well, wait a minute. The Egyptians were just as wicked. The Russians are just as wicked. The Americans are just as wicked. The Brazilians are just as wicked. The Japanese are just as wicked. Why not wipe all them out? Why didn't the church wipe them out? So now we go back a little. Now I want to give you the best I can, folks. So best I can shot at this. Why God gave this command to wipe everybody out, and how we're going to interpret that for our mission today. Because if we can't understand, if we can't come to grips with that, and I'm not saying this is going to be a complete answer, but I hope you'll wrestle with it. Here it is. As they were going through the wilderness, there is a story in there, and I can pick out various stories, but I wanted to pick this one out. There is a story about this King Balak who hired Balaam, kind of a magical prophet, kind of a wizard, but he somehow had some quasi a faith in God working in him. He's an odd guy, and not a man of faith, really. But so he hires him with gold and silver to come and you curse God's people. You put a curse on these people as they're going through. To curse, the exact opposite of to bless. Oh, this is, I got it. To bless, Barak. To curse, baraka, same word. Put a curse on them, not bless them. Put a curse on them. So Balaam says, well, I can only do what God puts in my mouth. So he's hired to curse Israel, and here he has five times. Instead of cursing, he blesses Israel. And Balak, of course, gets really angry and so forth. But I want you to hear, all of this is in light of the command to wipe everybody out. Okay,